James is a very important epistle. It's very important. Some might say he doesn't speak so much about Christ. But actually, he's giving us a really wonderful way.
Zum Ziel zu gelangen. Das ist so
He's giving us a wonderful way to get to the goal through all the things that have been shown to us in the Word. This epistle is really important. I cannot emphasize enough today how important it is. We all must learn from James. It's showing us a really practical way to reach the goal. And we see that without trials, we cannot reach the goal. Even in our human lives, we know this. We have been through many trials and tests, even since kindergarten and high school and college. There are many tests, many trials. Because without these, we won't know whether we've learned something. And if we don't pass the test, we cannot progress. Is that not the case? But unfortunately, we have a strange concept when it comes to our spiritual life and the church life. We think that we don't need trials and tests. Isn't that odd? We think, yes, I'll believe the word, I trust the Lord, and everything is fine. Praise the Lord, I have Jesus Christ, I am saved, all my sins are forgiven, and now I don't need anything else. I'm just waiting to be raptured. That is not how it is. It is not that simple. We all have to grow in our spiritual lives. We have to gain much more, and not gain only knowledge, but we have to gain reality. That's why Hebrews 11 is so important. Everything we've heard and read, we must substantiate. And we have to get the reality. In this reality, the word has to be evidenced in our daily life. How do you know you've got the reality unless it is tested? Unless it is tested and proven. If it's not, then we won't know. We won't really know what we've learned. Otherwise, we're just reading the Bible and right after reading it, just like it says in James, we've immediately forgotten what we've read. You did your morning watch, and come lunchtime, you've already forgotten what you read that morning. And especially when you are facing trials and difficult situations, you've really forgotten everything. Unfortunately, that is how it is in our spiritual life. And for so many years, I've seen and known Christians who have had so much knowledge, but it was of no use to them. Not because they didn't read the Bible, and not because they didn't believe, but because they did not apply what they read. They were hearers, and they even read a lot. But they were not doers of the word. And in James chapter 1, as a warning, James says, yeah, If you are a hearer but not a doer, you are deceiving yourself. Isn't that sad? That's why there are problems in the church life. And in the past, I have seen many problems. Everything that we read and that we heard didn't work. Because we threw away this epistle of James. I even heard from an older brother many years ago, the epistle of James doesn't belong in the Bible. My goodness. Martin Luther even said, this book does not belong to the Bible. We should throw it away. Do you think our Lord, the great living God, do you think he made a mistake? Or do you think Paul made a mistake when he said that all scripture is God-breathed? It is the breath of God, and it is very useful. And then someone wants to come and tell you that James has to be just thrown away, rejected, doesn't belong to the Bible?
Wenn wir Jakobusbrief wegwerfen oder einfach.
What would happen if we just tossed the Epistle of James aside or just were to skip it?
Lesen, huh?
What would happen if we would just pass right by it when we were reading the Bible? Pardon me, I couldn't think of the German word.
So ist es, liebe Geschwister. Wir brauchen diesen Brief.
That's how it is, dear saints. We need this epistle.
Dieses Wort ist für uns sehr praktisch.
This word is really practical for us.
Das können wir alle bezeugen.
Also in our church lives, we can all testify this. When a problem arises,
Prüfung kommt,
when a trial comes our way, we immediately fail.
Es ist wirklich eine Falle. Eine Falle oder Falle?
It is a trap. We fail, and it's a trap.
Ja. Und wir fallen gleich hinein in die Grube.
We fall right into the trap. We fall right into the ditch, even though we know so much.
Wenn die Prüfung kommt,
as soon as the trial comes our way,
haben wir nicht bestanden.
We
sogar
do not pass.
Kommt dann noch mehr Probleme,
and then even more problems and difficulties arise in our daily lives, and we explode right away, or we give up right away. Excuse me. And so we see at the very beginning of James, he is getting right to the point. He didn't talk about a lot of other things. So if we want to write something, you see James gets right to the point. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He gets right to the point. Not a lot of back and forth. Right, he gets right to the important point. All the apostles already spoke much about Christ, and they had many wonderful revelations about Christ. And now we need this brother who tells us this important point, that if we do not have these trials, then we won't even know where we stand. We all want to be raptured. We all want to be mature, and yet we don't want to face trials. Starting in the first grade, until we get to high school, we all faced many trials. We took many tests, small and large, and even the big final test at the very end, to see if you are ready to get to the next level. If in our human lives we have to pass through so many trials, well, it would be different if we were an animal like a cat. We wouldn't need trials. Or if we were a dog, well, yeah, maybe you'd go through a little bit of trials, you know, training, things like that, that dogs have to do, but not much more. But we humans, we need many trials to show, to evidence that we have learned something. And that we are now ready to proceed to a higher level. In other words, that we have grown. If I were to ask you, if someone were to ask you, how far have you gotten in your Christian life? How would you answer? Paul says, you are still babes after so many years. You are still drinking milk and you have not grown. You're not mature. Did he not say in 1 Corinthians 3? It doesn't mean that you didn't have knowledge. You've written epistles, you have heard things and you've known things, but nonetheless, you didn't grow. You remained as babes. You are fighting, you are carnal. There's so much of yourselves, selfishness. Yeah, there's pride. We think we are better than the others. We still have so many problems. And when tests and trials come our way, we immediately fail. And yet we think we are so great and better than others. And what's the result? Once again, problems, division. Is that not the case? Well, I hope it's not. But unfortunately, it is often this way. And we've just read Hebrews in the last conferences, and Paul said the same thing in chapter 5 at the end. He said, "You by this time, you ought to be teachers," Hebrews 5:12. But you still have come, you still need milk and not solid food. You cannot take the solid food because you're unskilled. And how do you see this? You can see it in the daily lives and in the church life and in the problems and in the trials that we face. The trials are so important. Trials are so important. Are you an engineer? Can you be an engineer without taking any tests? Just because you know the alphabet, does that make you an engineer? Well, you can read the newspaper. Does that make you an engineer? Is it that easy?
Eins plus eins gleich zwei, Arithmetik.
If you know arithmetic, 1 + 1 = 2. You can count.
Etwas machen, ja?
Does that mean you can now work in a big accounting firm? Does that mean you're an accountant now?
Ja. Nein, so einfach ist es nicht.
Of course not. It's not that simple. And if in our human life nothing is easy, do you think everything in our spiritual lives is so easy? It's much more difficult. The challenges are even more difficult to face if we're not exercised, if we haven't learned, if we are not being tested. Look at the life of faith that Abraham lived, that we spoke about yesterday. He needed to grow, and he had to go through many mistakes. And surely he learned very much from his mistakes. It's not that he was instantly so strong in his faith. From the very beginning, God said to him, leave everything behind. Leave your father's house. Leave your relatives. Leave everything behind. Are you ready? Are you prepared to do this? Did he do it? Did he immediately go out? No. But he needed time. And God brought him and led him step by step. And on the way, he underwent many trials, and often he failed. And therefore, dear saints, let us learn from James. In this whole chapter 1, James is speaking about the basic foundational principles of the trials we need, the testing that we have to go through. Yeah, the testing of our faith. This sentence is really important. A phrase with just four words, testing of your faith. Peter said this, James said it, our faith has to be tested, even has to go through fire. Oh Lord, fire? You mean I have to go through fire? My faith has to be tested? I thought faith was easy. I just believe God exists. And James says, well, the demons also believe that there is a God. And how is it with us? We believe in God. And we still create so many problems for ourselves and for others. So faith alone is not sufficient, says James.
But
our faith is tested, and its reality or its truth is manifested in our life, in our daily life. Otherwise, our faith is dead. I don't think anyone likes to hear that. Do you want to hear? Would you teach such a thing? That's why even Martin Luther was very offended by James. The good Martin Luther. Because Martin Luther says we are justified by faith and not by works. And now here's James saying that faith without works is dead. I think that created a headache for Martin Luther. So who's right? Well, both are right. We are not justified by works, but by faith. That faith, that believing, is the first step. But then, once we've received this precious faith, As Peter said, we have all received a like precious faith. Then it must be proven in our daily lives. Hebrews says it has to be substantiated and evidenced.
Petrus sagte genau dasselbe in 2. Petrus 1.
And in 2 Peter 1, he said the same thing. Once we've received this faith, we have to exercise all diligence to grow, to gain the virtues, to gain knowledge through faith, not to just gain knowledge, but true knowledge from God, to know God. And we have to grow even more into him. Self-control. Do you have self-control when a problem comes? In your marriage, at home? If your wife says something, do you have self-control? Dear husbands, in the church. Or does something come out of your mouth right away? A small volcanic eruption at home. Don't think it's easy. There are many and various trials. And after we have self-control, then there is patience, endurance, and after this perseverance, we have to gain godliness and then brotherly kindness. Well, we all love this word, brotherly love. Do you think that brotherly love is easy? Well, when you hear the teaching, you'd say, okay, I believe it, but you actually have to grow into it. And at the end, the love of God. And all these things don't just appear overnight, but they are gained through many trials. It has to be proven. It has to be refined. Without trials, there's nothing. That's why Paul says in Philippians 1, I think at the end of the chapter, all the gifts are given to us, not just to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. Many times I just want to believe, but I don't want to suffer. That was Philippians 1:29. I want to believe, but to suffer, no one likes to suffer. So brother, do you like suffering? The brother said, not so much. But I hope you'll change your mind after reading this epistle, that you would even count it all joy to face these trials. And that requires exercise and practice. In the past, if something happened to me, oh, right away I'd be up in arms, even on the ground or even under the ground, defeated. But I've learned a little bit. And now when I have to suffer, I rejoice. Why? Because in this I can gain Christ. Because I know it's good for me. It is good for me. I gain the Lord.
Tatsächlich.
It's true.
Ich bin mehrmals rausgeworfen worden.
I have been thrown out repeatedly, but with every time that I've been thrown out or cast out, I became more joyful. And the most recent time, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You see, the Lord was also cast out. They didn't just cast him out, they crucified him. Peter ran away. He had not yet reached that point. He said to the Lord, I will go with you all the way to the cross. It's good to have the will and the desire, but to do it, to actually complete it, that's a different matter. So we need to grow. We have to learn. And this book of James shows us how we ought to learn, how we can pass all these tests and hopefully even get an A, get the best grade, not just a C or a D or F. Lord Jesus. Yeah, it's no matter what grading system it is, we want to get the A, not the F for failing. The testing of your faith. This is very important. Otherwise, you can know and even recite the whole Bible. You could memorize it. None of that is of any use without the book of James. Because as soon as trials come your way, you forget everything. Tests make people nervous. And what happens when you're nervous? You forget everything you've learned. It's the truth. I think we can all confirm that. This is very practical. Lord Jesus. The testing of your faith produces patience. There's no other way to learn patience or endurance. Playing the piano is a good example. You need endurance. The parents there are saying, you must practice. And the kids are crying, no, I don't want to practice. I want to stop. I know this. With my kids, I've seen it, and also with my grandchildren, and also with myself, I've experienced it. Practice makes perfect. Amen. And patience shall do its perfect work in us. This is a word. These are wise words. You know, James actually emphasizes wisdom. I think he was a very wise brother, but not carnal wisdom or wisdom from the flesh. He was not wisdom from below, but it was wisdom from above. And the Lord also emphasizes we should be wise virgins, not foolish ones. And we should be wise servants, not just faithful, but also wise. The Lord says we have to be wise. Trials are important. Tests are important. our great, 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 great grandparents failed the very first test. And that was an important test, and they failed it immediately. From the very beginning, people had to be tested. Yeah, if man is not tested, there is no way. And so God lets it happen. There is a battle here between God and Satan in this universe. That's why God gave us the freedom to choose, to exercise, to learn. And how often do we face these trials? Seen from Satan's point of view, it is a temptation, but God sets it as a trial for us. James says that God doesn't tempt us. As it is written, God cannot be tried, cannot be tempted, and he will not tempt anyone, but he lets us be tested. It's a trial. Even at the very beginning with Adam and Eve, right after they were so wonderfully created, they were immediately tested. Satan said, oh, yes, sure, you were created this way. And then there's Job. Job was good. He was wonderful. He loved God. And then Satan came and said to God, well, of course he loves you because you've given him so many gifts, so many good things. You have made him so wealthy. You have blessed him. So then God said, fine, do what you will, Satan. Do what you will with him. It's a challenge, a trial. We have to see, recognize God's plan. Let's understand him, not misunderstand him. Otherwise, when we fall into trials, we will complain. Oh, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why did you allow this to happen? We even blame God. How often do you cast the blame on God? Well, why did you create me this way? Why is this other brother so healthy and I am sick? And then you start comparing yourself to others. When we fall into various trials, rather than rejoicing, we blame God. God, I thought you loved me. Why are you letting this happen to me? And then you start doubting the love of God. Just like Eve started to doubt that she should not eat of the wrong tree. So in these trials, we have to see the epistle of James. I'm not going to go verse by verse, but we see in this book that Satan is also at work in these trials. From his perspective, he sees it as a temptation to arouse the lust of your flesh so that sin will be conceived. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And in the end, you are spiritually dead. If we haven't recognized that these trials come from God so that I may go on, progress, become, be made perfect, to be blameless, to be lacking nothing. You have to complete, you have to pass every test, right? Maybe not with a grade of 100, but at least, you know, an 80, if not an A, then a B. And worst case scenario, maybe a C. But if we don't have this view, if we don't see this, then rather than gaining Christ, our flesh will be aroused, our desire will be aroused. And then we will sin, even sin against God. And we will act according to our flesh. And James says that the result of this is death. And as we heard yesterday, if someone doesn't pass the test, then they have to repeat the class. They have to repeat the class until we've learned it. But God will not force us. If we're not yet at the point that we're prepared or that we're ready, then God will wait. He will say, I'll wait. So these trials and tests are important. If we desire to be perfect, if we want to be perfected, as Hebrews says, let us leave these elementary teachings of Christ, these fundamental, basic teachings. You know, many believers, they just remain stuck at this initial stage. Salvation, Jesus died for me, my sins are forgiven, praise the Lord. And their faith remains at this level. But they don't progress, they don't continue. Paul says, leave these things. How can we leave them? How can we leave them behind? It's through these trials. To be exercised. Oh, Hebrews 5. So James actually is a completion or a supplement to Hebrews 5. You know, the sequence of the scriptures in the New Covenant, as in the Old Covenant, are all ordered by God in a specific sequence. They grow, they progress, and they bring us step by step to the goal. So those who are of full age, they have exercised their senses, and now they can discern good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. Then they can really see through these things. Paul says, the spiritual man sees all things, but a child or just a young student cannot comprehend all things. That's why it's quite easy to deceive children. And that's why the enemy already starts corrupting our children or trying to corrupt our children when they are young and they are just at his mercy in their simplicity and they cannot discern. But you, brothers, we should be such who have the ability to discern. But unfortunately, we say, oh, I don't need this, I don't need that. I don't need this word. No, a spiritual man, he comprehends all things, not just spiritual things, but Paul said all things. Satan uses every possible tool to destroy us, to distract us.
reden.
Well, I don't want to say too much more about this.
Jakobus Brief weiter. Ich habe gerade die deutsche Zion-Übersetzung vor mir
so
hier.
James goes on to say,
deshalb sagte Jakobus, wenn jemanden unter euch Weisheit mangelt.
If anyone among you is lacking wisdom,
gemeint ist nicht menschliche Weisheit.
And here he's not speaking of human wisdom or natural wisdom.
Wie auch Paulus gesagt hat, die Weisheit der Menschen ist Torheit vor Gott.
And as Paul also said, the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And God's foolishness is wiser than
the wisdom of man.
So, please.
In allen Prüfungen, egal, also, wenn es Versuchung ist von der Seite.
So, regardless of our trials, even if it's a temptation from the side of Satan, or it's a worldly situation like the pandemic or the wars, no matter what the situation is that we're facing, we need wisdom. We have to say, what does it have to do with me? What do I have to learn from it? We need wisdom from above. We need God's wisdom. Your wisdom is not sufficient to fight against the enemy. If I'm just using my own wisdom to fight, I don't need to bother. We need God's wisdom. We need his word. If you're not a doer of the word of God, if you're only a hearer, you will not pass the test. You will not. If all you've got is Bible knowledge in your head, but the desires, your carnal desires arise, then you will fail. You're going to fall on your face. You will not be able to resist because you are not a doer of the word. You are not exercised. You are not practiced in applying the word that you have read or heard. To apply it and to transform it into reality, into practice. If you don't have this kind of faith as described in Hebrews 11, then when the trials come, you think you'll have the strength? You think you'll find the way out? You think you'll be able to overcome? You will not be able to overcome because you are just a hearer of the word and not a doer in your daily life. But if you have eaten the word in such a wonderful way, the word is working in you, and in small things you are obedient to the Lord and you apply the word. Even when you're speaking to your wife, when you're doing your work at home in practical things, if you turn to the Lord and you say, Lord, how should I do this thing? Don't tell the Lord, okay, just you stay over there. I know how to do it. I'll do it my way. In the end, there will be chaos. Learn this. Zechariah saw golden lampstands, and the Lord asked him, the angel asked him, what did you see? He said, a golden lampstand. Do you know what it is? Well, yes, of course. The lampstand gives light. That's what I would say. That's my own wisdom. How would you answer if an angel posed this question to you? You see, there's a golden lampstand. And what is it? Zechariah answered, I don't know, but you know. That is the proper attitude. Of course, you know what a gold lampstand is.
als ein Bild. Ja? Wenn du das Bild siehst, da,
if you see a picture or an image of a golden lampstand, and I were to ask you, what is that in the picture? Oh, it's a golden lampstand. And what is it made of? Oh, it's gold. And what's a lampstand for? And you'll say, oh, of course, to shine light, right? Oh, wow. This brother is so wise. Well, according to human wisdom, we'd say, yes, he's very wise. But according to spiritual wisdom, if the angel says, what do you see? Say, not by might, but by my spirit. Well, I would never have arrived at this explanation in my own mind. That is such, what an explanation. Well, brother, you are older than many of the other ones here. Would you have come up with such an answer? Even if I really tried so hard to think of this answer, I would not be able to come up with it. Yeah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. We need the wisdom from above, especially in many situations where we are facing trials. On the one hand, it's a trial from God. On the other hand, it's also a temptation. The enemy is there right away. He's there right away to transform the trial from God into a temptation from Satan so that we might fall. So don't be so quick to criticize. Don't be so quick to judge as though you know everything. You don't know everything. So, whether you're a brother or a sister. Because of Eve was so quick to decide. So the sisters should not be so quick to speak. Paul also said this. Paul said the sisters should be silent. And if you have a question, go home and ask your husband. And if you are single, then ask the Lord. He is our husband. He's our bridegroom. Don't be so quick to judge. Don't immediately just say your opinion. That produces anger and problems, strife, disagreement, and in the end, division in the church. We need this wisdom from above. You might think you don't need it, but I can say I need it. I've often said to the Lord, your church is not made with man's hands, not of this creation. It is heavenly. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. But I only have man's hands. So how can I build your church unless you show me how to do it? I'm not capable. You have this wonderful name, Heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. Is that not a wonderful name? Amen. Well, what does that mean? Are you heavenly or are you earthly? And with which kind of wisdom should the heavenly Jerusalem be built? Our earthly human wisdom is not enough. It's insufficient. And so we all must learn.
Jahre, als ich noch ein Student war, dachte
50 or 60 years ago, when I was still a student, I thought everything was so simple. Now I have the knowledge, I know it, and I'm so wise. But today, I must say, I'm foolish.
Du weißt, ich nicht. Ich weiß nicht, es sei denn,
Lord, you know. I don't know. Unless you show me. Otherwise, we are using our own strength, our own power, our own mind, our own interpretations to solve problems in the church life. And that's not the way. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and ask without doubting. Are you a doubter or a believer? Are you an unbelieving believer?
In situationen, wenn es geschehen ist,
in situations that have that you experienced in the past, or even in coming situations, do you more often believe or do you doubt? Are you a believer or an unbeliever or a doubter? Among the 12 apostles, the disciples of Jesus, there was Brother Thomas, who is a well-known doubter. And then there's Peter, who thinks he's capable, but he's actually not, but he talks a lot.
Wir sind alle so, liebe Brüder.
And we are all this way, dear brothers.
Wankelmütiger Mann. Wenn eine Situation passiert,
we are wavering.
Ja, Herr, ich glaube.
As soon as a situation arises, we say, oh Lord, I believe. And then half hour later, oh really? Will the Lord do it? Will he do it for me? Will he help me? And 2 days later, when nothing's happened, oh, I don't think the Lord is hearing my prayer at all. And then in the evening, you'll repent. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I do believe. Yeah, so we are double-minded or double-souled. James illustrated this for us in such a clear way. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And it's like a moody, unstable man just going wherever the wind blows. Yeah, he uses this word, unstable. Unstable. So that we would understand, that is to say, double-souled, to be double-souled, it's not good to have two souls. A person with two souls, that's no good. It doesn't actually mean you have two souls, but your soul has two sides to it. Has the old side and the new side. And you are in the process of being transformed. So you've got the old side, the aspect that is old, that is not yet transformed, and you've got the other side, which is transformed. So that's why sometimes you believe and other times you don't. And that's a battle. It is a battle.
Also, wir müssen alle lernen zu glauben.
So we must all believe.
Wir haben alle denselben Geist.
We must learn to believe in faith. And Paul says we all have the same spirit of faith.
Üben, geübt sind.
And only when we are exercised in this spirit of faith and we have exercised it, then we will not be double-minded, we will not be unstable, but much more, we would be steadfast. We would be a steadfast believer. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the way of faith has to grow. The Lord is the author and the perfecter of our faith. In the beginning, we are unstable. That's okay. That's all right. And so we're like a wave. We're up and we're down. That's all right. That's quite normal in the beginning. It shows you are in maybe just in elementary school in second grade. But if we grow in our faith, then we become stable. We become steadfast. So I see this little boy on the screen. Is your son still unstable? Does he fall down? Sure, that's normal. That's wonderful. But you, are you as the parent also so unstable? No. No, you are more steadfast. You are more steadfast in your faith. Praise the Lord. I was also unstable. Who wasn't? But praise the Lord. Today, my faith is firm. My faith in him is firm, steadfast. I don't trust myself and I don't look at others, but I hold fast to him. This is important when it comes to trials. Without faith, it is impossible.
And
it might be difficult to understand. It says that let a lowly brother glory in his exaltation. That's a little difficult to understand. Why is he saying this? What does a lowly brother and the rich have to do with trials? Well, this has much to do with trials. We need this mind. As Paul said, we have to have the mind of Christ. If we see Christ, how he was God, but he forsook his status, his divinity, he left his throne, his glory, and he became a man. And not even just a man like you and me, but even lowlier. We need this mind. We all need this mind. Do you think that when Jesus Christ was living on this earth, you think he lived like a king who was so high and all these little people came to him and wanted to try him and test him? What do you think the Lord would say? Get away from me. Don't you know me? I'm the Son of God. What are you doing here? I know what you're thinking. I know what you want. So scram, get away. If the Lord had that kind of mind, like us who are so proud, oh, here's a new brother or another brother and wants to have fellowship with you, and you say, you're wrong. And then he'll say, who are you to say I'm wrong? You don't know anything.
Then
we can never pass any trials. A proud man cannot withstand a trial. The Lord came to be tested through all kinds of trials, but he had the wisdom of God. He lowered himself as a slave. He humbled himself. And only in this condition, he could pass through the trials. A proud man cannot pass these trials. If we're full of ourselves, here James refers to a lowly brother. Doesn't mean necessarily that the brother is poor. Of course, it could also refer to someone who is poor. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. So we have to be poor in spirit. And Luke says, blessed are the poor. So it's not just poor in spirit, it's also the poor. So if whether the brother is poor in the material sense or in the spiritual sense, if a brother is poor and thinks, well, I've got nothing, I don't understand everything that's spoken, look at the others, they've got 5 talents, I don't even have 1 talent, which of course is not true. The Lord says you have at least 1 talent.
But
this brother who thinks I'm so lowly, I'm not able, I can't make it. And in the end, he just buried what he had. Then he won't make it because he gave up right away. But this lowly brother has to see that he's saved, he's regenerated, he's a son of God, he has a heavenly status. He's not lower than the one that has 5 talents. We are all the same. I'm a brother. When the Father sees me, he doesn't see me as a lowly, poor man. Oh, why did I let this man be born again through my son? What a poor, pathetic guy. You think the Father will say that? No, the Father sees us all the same way. But we don't view each other equally or the same way. The Chinese have a saying that the right eye is larger than the left. So when I see the rich man, I see him through my big eye. Well, when I see a poor man, I see him through my other eye. Well, I could barely see him because my eye is so small. So he's like nothing to me. That is not good.
Ein niedriger Bruder soll nicht, soll eine, wie sagt man auf Deutsch? Komplex, sagt man auf Deutsch, ja?
So, a lowly brother shouldn't have a complex, an inferiority complex. Right. The lowly brother should not have an inferiority complex and say, oh, I'm no good. I can't do anything. Yeah, no inferiority complexes. That should not exist for a quote-unquote lowly brother, because in God's eyes, no one is lowly. All are the same. And woe to me if I think one is higher than the other. And such a brother cannot withstand a trial. Well, he doesn't even need a trial because he's already failed.
Oh, Herr. Herr Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Jakobus, der niedrige Bruder.
That's why James emphasizes this. Emphasizes the lowly brother to tell this brother, you are a brother, you are a son of God. God regenerated you. You were born again of him, and his spirit dwells in you. You have a high standing, a high status, equally as high as the others. Not just high, but even royalty, your highness. We are sitting with Christ in the heavenlies. It's not just high, but it's so high. You are a highness. You belong to the royal family. That's the kind of attitude a lowly brother must have. That's not pride. That's recognition of the grace of God. That means I should not view myself as too lowly or to have this feeling of inferiority.
Andererseits sagte er nicht.
On the other hand, he didn't say, but a rich, he didn't say a rich brother, he just says, but the rich in verse 10. So some read this verse to mean that he's not referring to a brother, but I'm sure it is a reference to a rich brother. And often the rich is so proud. And that's why the Lord said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Es ist nicht so gut. Ja, natürlich nicht. Es bedeutet nicht, ein reicher Mann kann es gar nicht.
It doesn't mean that a rich man cannot enter the kingdom of God. He didn't say it's impossible. He just said it's much harder. It's harder than a camel entering in through the eye of a needle. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. But the Lord also said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Even if you're rich, praise the Lord. I've seen many rich people who have entered the kingdom of God, who gave everything for God's work and for the kingdom of God. It's not so easy. Remember the rich young man. He claimed to have fulfilled all the requirements of the law, but the Lord said, one thing is still missing. Sell everything that you have and give it to the pastor. Did he say give it to the pastor? No, he said give it to the poor. We might only think of the pastor, but all the pastors I know are so rich. And all the poor remain poor. The Lord said, sell all your possessions and give it to the poor, and come, follow me.
Ging weg, traurig.
Well, that young man went away sorrowful. The Lord didn't say to him, all right, come. The Lord didn't say, come back. Don't go away. Stay here. You've got much to learn. No, but the Lord didn't send him away. Don't blame the Lord and say, why did you send the young man away? That's what we would think. We'd say, Lord, you have no love. You sent this young man away. No. We do not send any brother or sister away unless there is a great sin. But even then, give them the choice. Repent, turn, leave that thing and stay. The Lord will send nobody away. But we think, oh, the Lord sent him away. Don't think this way. That kind of thought is wrong. It's not from above. It's not wisdom. Dear saints, in any case, we have much to learn through trials, both for those who are lowly or poor, as well as those who are rich, whether it is spiritual or whether it is material. Well, if you think, oh, I know everything, then in the end, you will be so proud. And that's the end. Those who are this way, they will forget that every good gift did not come from themselves. It didn't come out of their clever brain, but it is from above, from the Father of Lights. We have to thank God and praise Him and not think, I am the apostle, I am the elder of the church, or I'm the teacher. My goodness, that kind of thought is from below. Dear brothers.
Ja, natürlich, ihr habt schon darüber geredet. Wie man sage, wenn er versucht wird, werde ich von Gott versucht. Nein, wir haben ja schon.
So let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. And you spoke about this in an earlier meeting, and you can read this also yourself. That's why James says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. If there is a trial from God, that you would not think, oh, this can't be from God. Why is it only happening to me and not to anyone else? Then Satan will say, that's right. God really has bad intention with you. Forget God. Come on, I'll give you something different. That's unfortunately the case. So learn the lesson from Eve, from Adam and Eve. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. God will not give you something that is not good. Think of the Gospel of Luke. It's stated a little different in Luke than in Matthew. If you who are wicked know to give your children good things, how much more? If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. Right. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That means that every good gift comes from the Holy Spirit for our benefit. And in Romans 8, how could God, who didn't spare his only begotten Son, not have given us everything that we need? God cannot give you something evil so that you will fall or fail. Surely not. Our God is not this kind of God. Amen. And he is unchanging. There is no variation with him. As Hebrews 12 tells us, Jesus Christ, the same today and yesterday and forever, he doesn't change. We do change. We change. We are double-minded. We are unstable. We are moody. Who among us is not a moody person? Well, maybe you think you're the exception. No one's an exception. We are moody. We are so changeable, like the weather.
Sonnenschein und Mittag und Abend.
We are changeable like the weather. It's sunny in the morning and the black clouds in the evening, a rainstorm. Yeah, we are so unstable like this. But Lord Jesus, our Lord is not this way. That's why it says there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's the Father, the God of lights. Light in the physical creation turns. That's why it's changing. There is light during the day and then it's dark at night. It's always changing, but not with God. God himself is light. He doesn't need turning. He doesn't change. There is no night with him. And in the New Jerusalem, in the heavenly Jerusalem, there is no night anymore. Because God himself is their light. And James then gives some additional advice. So then, my beloved brethren, verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This is really a word of wisdom, even in your marriage. What's happening in our marriage? Are we slow to speak? The best would be to just have a zipper and zip it up. Much more. Listen, be a hearer. Also in the church life, if someone says something, let him speak. Don't be so quick to answer. Don't say your opinion so quickly. No, our own opinion is not helpful. Our opinion cannot bring forth God's righteousness. Not just our wrath, but even our good opinion is not capable of bringing forth the righteousness of God. So I don't need to say much. But verse 21 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Why does James use this word overflow? Because our heart is really overflowing with wickedness. It's not just a little bit. It would be nice if it were just a little bit. That's why we have to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Such a wonderful feast. Not just to eat the unleavened bread, but to purge out all the leaven. And the problem with this heart of ours is that today I purge out the leaven and tomorrow more comes in. That's a problem. That's why we will never cease to purge at all times, continually to purge. As soon as you've purged one thought, two thoughts come tomorrow. And you purge it once again, and an even worse thought enters your mind. What can you do? So long as we live on this earth, so long as we are bearing with us this flesh, this body of flesh, you can't get rid of it unless, of course, you die. So long as we have this body of flesh, we will have problems. So that is why there is an overflow of wickedness. Don't think you are so holy. The Lord has to sanctify us step by step, piece by piece, and he has to give us transformation. And transformation takes time.
Wichtiger Wort, dann müssen
then,
gepflanzt worden mit
Sanftmut. Then it says that we have to receive with meekness the implanted word. So it doesn't say here receive with curiosity the implanted word. Ooh, what does this mean? And then you go on the internet and you click lots of links and you look at lots of books and you read lots of things. That's not meekness. That's curiosity.
Neugiermut.
So this kind of curiosity, it's almost like greediness. Yeah, someone who's so greedy for new knowledge and wants to receive knowledge, but this kind of man will not receive the implanted word. The word is like a seed. It's so living. It's so full of life. And we want it to bring forth the life of God so that it would bear fruit. And a proud man will not receive this implanted word, much rather a gentle and meek person before God. That's why it says, goes on to say in verse 22, but be doers of the word. And someone who is curious or eager to learn, learns things not to apply them in reality and in his life, but he just wants to know it so he can teach others. That's why in James chapter 3, he says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. That's not good. Much rather be doers of the word. This is such an important word here in James. Praise the Lord.
Und dann sagte er, wenn wir zum Wort kommen,
and then he says, yeah, if you are a doer, you will not forget. You might be able to recite the word, but if you forget it when situations arise, then it's not useful. Yeah, but someone who is not a forgetful hearer has to look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it. Verse 25. Yeah, do not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does.
Das brauche ich nicht darüber zu sagen.
So there's not much I need to say about this. I'll just say that the word in the new covenant is no longer a law that is the letter of the law, but it is a law of liberty. The letter kills and binds us and constrains us and tells us what to do, but it doesn't give us life. And in the end, we can't fulfill it, so we are corrupt. That's why the law cannot save us. But in the new covenant, the word is the law of liberty. It doesn't just tell us what to do, but it also gives us a supply of the spirit of life of Jesus Christ in us so that we might be capable and able to fulfill this word through Christ. It makes us free. Amen. This law sets us free. It doesn't make us into slaves. As Galatians says, we're in the heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, sorry, not Galatians, as it was just said. We're in the heavenly Jerusalem and we are free. Don't think, oh, it's so difficult. I can't fulfill it. Then in the end, you haven't understood what the word is for. The word is not there to make you a slave, but to make you free so that we can enjoy Christ in this word and to get the reality and the substance.
der Freiheit. Er macht uns frei.
That's why it is a law of liberty, a word of liberty that sets us free. The law of the spirit of life, it says in Romans 8, makes us free from the law of sin and of death. And in the end of James 1, everything we do in our meetings, when we are keeping the feast, the festal gathering, if we are bringing the offerings to the Father, if we're having fellowship with one another, when we're sharing, when we're praying, let it not be in vain.
Wie der Vater gesagt hat, in Isaiah, in Jesaja.
Yeah, unless we learn to apply this word, it will all be in vain. Yeah, otherwise God will say, I don't want to hear your prayer. I don't even want to hear your prayer. I don't want to receive your offerings if you have lived this kind of life. You're not for me in your daily life. In your daily life, you are against me. You don't even know me.
So ist es. Wenn aber wir solche Übungen machen, nach der Anweisung,
if we are exercised and apply the instruction of James, then our religion, which here means our practice of the faith, in Judaism they had many practices, they did a lot, they did many things. But it was in vain. If we, in our Christian life, also do many things that are in vain, if we fail every test, then what we do will be vain. Pure and undefiled religion or practice of faith before God and the Father, the Lord of glory, our wonderful God, pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So this word shows that faith is very practical, not just teaching and good messages. If you're just giving good messages, but in practice, you don't care for the brothers and sisters. You just say, do this, do that, do this work, go to that country, give more money, build more halls and meeting halls. But if you don't care for the saints, if you don't care about the real needs of the saints, whether it's human, material needs, or spiritual needs, you just want to do a great big work and have your own glory, glorify yourself, and in the end, you love the world. You just want to get richer. Then in the end, you'll be like the rich who is described here.
So, look in here, Kapitel 1.
So praise the Lord for chapter 1.
Amen, liebe Brüder.
Amen, dear brothers and sisters. Amen. You can continue with the fellowship or prayer. And those of you who are participating from Asia, it's past your bedtime. So yeah, you can also download the messages and listen to them during the day. Don't stay up too late. Go to bed.
Amen. So, lobe den Herrn, liebe Geschwister.
Praise the Lord, dear saints.
Mit unserem Geiste, ja?
Yeah, the Lord be with our spirit.